Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to Coach Menachem Berenfeld's Shiur 193 on this beautiful summer night. And thank you for joining us, we really appreciate it. Tonight's Shiur is 193. First, I want to thank all the people that come every week and participate, and people that post it, and people that email people about it, and talk about it. Sichas Chaverim, a place to read Dorech Inyonim, and a place to get clarity. And hopefully Mitzvah tonight we'll get clarity on a very big topic that we honestly never had clarity. It was more of a slang than anything. And if anybody wants to join us on the WhatsApp, you can WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I'll also post the community chat on the Zoom. I'll also, if you text me, WhatsApp me, I'll send you the link. Menachem will email it out as well. All the people that are watching the replay of this on YouTube, you can click on the like button, click on the subscribe button, so Mitzvah every time we have a share, we Menachem post it, get to watch it, and get to be part of the Coach Menachem family. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors that promote us, Lakewood Scoop, Ellie Nario from Five Time Central, Chayav from JCN. Again, if anybody's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9:30, on this Zoom ID, we have different important topics, different bottom, different therapists. Please spread the word. Next week, July 14th, we're going to have a world-famous therapist, Rabbi Daniel Schochenbach. Did I say that right, Menachem?
Schochenbach.
He's a pretty big therapist. We'll discuss a very important topic. People are very into it now. The parts, IFS, we're titling it Unveiling the Power Within, how internal family systems therapy heals trauma, addiction, and depression, and by embracing and transforming our parts. So that should be a very powerful program. Please be part of it. Let people know about it, and please join us. Tonight's year is 193, Rabbi Kleiman. I know you came on many, 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 many centuries ago, but when you came on, we didn't do gematrias, and since I don't know, the past few years we started doing gematrias. So the president, Reb Erna Echfried, is going to give a gematria for 193.
Shalom uvracha, everybody. To Zoom share 193, living with Hashgacha Pratis, how to feel the divine touch at every moment of your life. We must realize that Hashem is with us constantly, every moment of our life, which leads us up to tonight's gematria 193, is gematria Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
See, that's why we waited for 193 of the club. We had it all Oitzkech Hezbon. We had to make sure that it works perfectly.
That's
we knew it before you wrote the book.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to start off first with Coach Menachem Berenfeld. Coach Menachem, Sunday night, it was very hot today. I was tired. Oitzkech Matet. But why are we sitting here tonight at 9:30 tonight? What are we trying to talk about? What are we trying to gain from tonight's topic?
Amazing. Welcome everyone to another program. Let's get real with Coach Menachem. And yes, with, like we heard, with a lot of Siyata Deshmaya, we're doing tonight number 193. And we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. Every week we have a different program, different ideas, and the feedback is really amazing. Everybody learning what they need to learn and growing. And I'm excited. Tonight's program is something that I guess will be negative for everything. Talking about everybody on their own journey, everybody in their own situation in life. Sometimes it hits hard. Sometimes it's just a question of chinuch. Sometimes shalom bias. We're all mavakshim. All Yisrael, we're looking. We want to grow closer to Hashem. And we want to learn. We want to do the right thing. And every Sunday night, we're trying to connect, to understand, to get together. We hear there are people out there. We're not alone, trying to have that support from each other. And then when sometimes people need help, they start reaching out, whether it's a therapist, to a Rav, to somebody they can talk
to. Kol HaLashon.
You don't have to do it on your own, to learn different modalities, become aware of yourself, self-introspection. And I think tonight's topic is Negea really for every step of the way. It's healing or being on a journey, growing without having Hashem in our life is a little bit disconnected. We're missing the boat because why do we want to be better? What are we looking for? Why are we trying to do it right? You know, you might think I'm doing it for my neighbor socially, but deep down as a Yid, the only reason why we're here is to serve Hashem. And we want to do it for Hashem. We want to do it the right way, give it over to our kids, to our Eniklef, and for ourselves to grow. What does Hashem want from us? So Hashem has to be in the picture. Now, I do know that there are many that need that healing, when you're talking about Hashem. They've picked up the wrong picture, and many times just mentioning Hashem, they just shut down. And they're not here anymore. They're gone. But, you know, that also needs slowly some healing to understand that you might have picked up the wrong idea. That, you know, Hashem is that loving father, and every step of the way, he's there for us, holding our hands. We don't always feel it. We don't always see it. And that's where the challenge is. We're going to talk about the Shkach Protest tonight to understand that every step of the way, Hashem is there. And we think we're doing something, whether it's health or panasa or shalom bayis. Nothing really in our hands. Yes, the shtadlus. So we have to figure that out. How much do I have to do and how much is Hashem? But to understand, no matter where I am on my journey, where I live, where I'm standing is exactly where I need to be now. And that's where Hashem put me. So we all, we're used to hearing stories of Hashgacha Pratis of wow. And then they found out that it was exactly the way it was supposed to be, and it was much better than they anticipated. And it worked out. A positive story. What happens to those stories that there's no ending? You don't know why. You just don't know. There's no, like, wow at the end. To believe that the Hashgacha Pratis is over there also. Every step, no matter if you see it or you don't, to be able to live it and feel it. So hopefully tonight, that's what we're going to figure out. Number one, ishtadlus, how much is it on us to do. Number two is how to practically live with that Hashgacha Pratis. And if we can be koinah, Metz Hashem, tonight, hopefully after this 2 hours, it could help us with our menuchas and nefesh to understand that Hashem is there, holding our hands, guiding us every step of the way. And you can take a deep breath and thank him and connect to him. So I'm very excited to have Rabbi Kleiman on top today. He wrote a book. There's a lot of information. We're going to hear all about all our questions. And it's a shame we should be able to grow and connect through tonight's program.
Beautiful. Okay, let's get into it. Rabbi Kleiman, just move your camera down a drop so we can see, like, it's a little high. Push it down a drop. Okay, let's get into it.
The other way.
Rabbi Kleiman, the other way. Yes. Okay, tonight's shiur is called Hashgacha Pratis, Living with Hashgacha Pratis, how to feel the divine touch at every moment of your life. And it's a very important topic. My personal feeling is, like, we always hear about Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis, it's a slang word. It's a word that we're brought up with, but I don't know if we really connect it and what it means. Hopefully after tonight we get some more clarity of what it means. I'm going to read Rabbi Kleiman. It's really not his bio. It's really just about the book, but I'll read it anyway. Hashgacha Pratis. It's all about connection. We call it Hashgacha Pratis, the understanding that Hashem is continuously in our lives, not in just historical events and obvious miracles. Hashgacha Pratis tells us that Hashem is with us in the traffic jams, hospital wards, and even while we're waiting for the late plane to take off. He's with us even in our times of suffering. Everything reflects his will and his goodness. And the more we are aware of Hashgacha Pratis around us, the more we see it clearly. Rabbi Heshy Kleiman, the author of the classic Praying with Fire series, brings us a daily reader that shows us how to become aware of Hashgacha Pratis in our world. Now such consciousness will ignite our emunah, enhance our gratitude, increase our merits, and lead us to a happier, more secure, meaningful life. Rabbi Kleiman, we had you on a long time ago. It's a schuss to have you back here. And please open it up. The floor is yours.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. I'll start with the conclusion. The conclusion is Hashgacha Pratis is not just a rationale. It is a reality. What I mean by that is, as Coach Menachem mentioned, as Usher alluded to, oftentimes we use Hashgacha Pratis to say, it's Bashet, Hashgacha Pratis, it's the Eivishter, to help us to be able to accept certain events. It's literally used as a rationale. I would like to impart this evening, part of the message is that it is the reality of the world. And if we are more aware that every single aspect of life, whether it's on the world stage, whether it's in our personal lives, is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, people have asked me, why did I write a book on Hashgacha Pratis? The truth is, I started writing this book years ago COVID, you remember that guy? Okay, COVID was a nasty fellow. Hurt a lot of people, killed a lot of people. And I started to notice that, wait, this really is a wake-up call. We all heard, we all know, we've been told, the Chofetz Chaim told us this 100 years ago. Shmuel Kamenetsky has said it. Other Gedolim have said it. We are living in Ikvasa de Mashicha. The Mishnah in Saita says, in Ikvasa de Mashicha, Ein onu lihishoein ela alavinu shabashamayim. And the Mishnah mentions a whole bunch of events that will happen, which, by the way, the last two chapters of the book discuss those events and shows us how those events are the times we're living in. I'll give you one quickie. Inflation. It's a beferish of Mishnah. It's a beferish of time we're living in. We all know that. Inflation is one aspect of a simon that we are living be'ikvas of the Mashiach. Rav Moshe in the Dor Moshe Feinstein and Dor Moshe writes that there are many times Klal Yisrael will go to tzaris. The Chofetz Chaim mentioned this over 100 years ago. I've heard so many people say, come on, you know, we say it, the Gula's coming, the Gula's coming, nothing's going on. If the Gula's coming, come on, people become cynical, and they're right. Absolutely right. But Rav Moshe writes, in the Darash Moshe, that if Klal Yisrael would heed the words of the Mishnah, Ein onu lihishoyin ela avinu shasamayim, the Geula would come right away. Ein onu lihishoyin means we have to rely on God. What does that mean? You ever play a game with your little child or your little grandchild? You tell them, why don't you go up to the third step, jump into my arms, and I will catch you. So the initial response of the little child is, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fall. I'm going to hurt myself. You look at the child and you say, I'm your tati. I'm your father. I'm your mother. I'm your mommy. I'm your grandfather. I'm your grandmother. Rely on me. There's no way I would ever hurt you. The child hesitates, but the child jumps. Because the child knows that the connection, it's real. The parent, the grandparent loves the child, won't do anything. We will never, ever mislead the child. In onu lihishoein, jump into the Eibishter's arms. Reason number one to write the book. The world, COVID was upside down. The simonim of the Mishnah were blatant. They were real. People have to become aware of the reality that when we're living in Ikvas of the Mashiach, we can, yes, bring the Geula. It's up to us. That's number one. But as equally as important, individual lives were affected. And it's not just during the times of COVID, and then COVID came and COVID went, and I had three chapters on COVID, and everybody forgot about it. So I ditched those chapters, never to be in a book, I would think. And then I started to write. I continued to write. And then October 7th came. And October 7th, I said, what? What is going on? And then I realized, Ikvas of the Mashiach are like the birth pangs of birth. The tsaros will come, they'll stop, they'll come again, they'll stop. There was 9/11. Ramat Hashem, Solomon said, it was Ruchnius, ground zero, Efes Zulasso, we say in the Oleinu, Efes, nothing Zulasso. That was ground zero, a reminder that the whole world is nothing, it's all about the Eibishter. And then we had the Great Recession. And then we had so many other things that happened. And then we had COVID. And then we had October 7th. And I said, this is Ikvas of the Mashiach. We're living through it. How are people able to see the Eibishter with all the tzaros? That's why I included chapter 5, dealing with heartbreak, disappointment, and misfortune. Being aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not when the story winds up unbelievable. Like in the case of Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, when he was 16 years old, he went to the Mikveh Erev Shabbos Kodesh. He had received his paycheck, put it in his pocket. He went into the mikvah, came out, found out that his money was gone. Rav Kotzkel decided then, Ashkocha brought this, the Yavish is giving me a simin. I'm going to change my life. He went back to Lomza. He became the great Mashkiach, Rav Kotzkel Levenstein. And what about the story with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? He got the job in the third largest town of Lithuania. And then a week before he was about to begin, he got a letter that the job offer was rescinded. Nebuch, Rav Yaakov, had to go to that wasteland. I think they call it America. And he left the family behind. In the biography of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the book says that the Rebbetzin cried bitter tears, but Rav Yaakov, when he would give eitzes to people years later, would say, look at the Ashkocha Pratis, what appears to be the greatest misfortune was the greatest salvation. And what about Rapam? When Rapam was going to a job as a rav in Scranton, he missed the bus. Rapam was so exact in everything that he did. And he said it was like crazy that he missed the bus. And again, he too, when he gave aces to people, would say, you know something? Look at the tremendous, wonderful thing that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me, which at the time appeared to be a misfortune. And what about the Alta from the Bardic, 27 years old, running in Lemel with his package because he had to support his wife, the 8 children, and the Almona, his mother-in-law. And we saw Salanta stopped him and said, Abu Leifster, where are you running? And he said, I'm running to support, to give life to my family. And we saw Salanta said, and what about the time after 120? What are you doing for that? And the Alta from the Vardik closed his business, joined the Koilel, and became the great Alta from the Vardik. And what about the story about the state of Israel? What about the story of the state of Israel? Do you know that the story that Eretz Yisrael was recognized by the UN in 1948 started in 1891? Someone by the name of Eddie Jacobson was born. I know, you're going, who in the world is Eddie Jacobson? So it's in the book. I'm telling you, all these things are in the book. Baruch Hashem. Fascinating. Ashkocha Pratis. Eddie Jacobson was a non-religious Jew. In 1905, he moves to Kansas City. And he befriends someone by the name of, his first name was Harry. He had an initial S. His last name was Truman. You've heard about him. He befriends Harry Truman. They join together in World War I. They open up a haberdashery business, a store that lasts for 3 years after the war, and then they drift apart. 1948, the vote in the UN, and they're racking their brains. Who can we get to talk to Harry Truman? So somebody remembers he had this old friend, Eddie Jacobson. Let's get Eddie. Eddie calls up Harry Truman in the White House. Truman said, listen, my State Department, they're against the state of Israel. We know that already. But he says, you can come and talk to me, but I cannot and will not discuss the situation with the state of Israel with you. And then he says, fine. Eddie goes over. He sees a bust of President Andrew Jackson on the mantle. And he says to Truman, Harry, who's that? He said, that's my idol. And Eddie Jacobson starts to cry. He said, I have an idol too. His name is Chaim Weizmann. To make a long story short, he convinces Harry Truman to get the United States to vote for the state of Israel. Unbelievable. Ashkocha Pratis. In times when we need the Eibishter, but we always need the Eibishter. And even when things look daunting and they look to be disheartening and it's heartbreak and it's misfortune, that's the time where we need to ain onu lishon el avinu shebasamayim, not only in the world stage, as the Chofetz Chaim said, that the Great Depression was a ruchnius event because we did not trust the Eibishter. Therefore, people did not trust and did not lend out money. And that's what caused one of the causes of the Great Depression.
Or a Matasio, as I mentioned, called 9/11. What about those Gedolim Revelo Lapion of Avigdor Miller, who would describe the Holocaust as being a ruchnius event? Everything that happened is from the Eibishter. Who we're going to marry is from the Eibishter. The house we live in, the panosa, the attributes, the milas, the things that we're able to do, everything of the Hashgacha Pratis. But we need to be aware of it. So number one, that we can bring the Geula in honor Lishon El Avinu Shebashamayim. And number two, to be able to understand that whatever happens, we have to give gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even, or maybe more importantly, when things do not go our way, don't judge the book by the cover. This is Etzemach David Avdecha Meheretz Hatzmiach. The Eibishter is planting the solution in the ground. It's cold, it's dark, it's wet, nothing is growing in the winter, but you don't know it. It's below the ground, below the surface. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaShkocha Protis. I'll leave you in my introduction with one last visual image of a tapestry. You ever see, you ever look at a tapestry? On one side, it's totally disheveled, chaos, haphazard, confusion, no seder, turmoil, random. And you know what's on the other side? Harmony, coherence, seder, purpose, beauty. What we see oftentimes in this haphazard, confusing world, October 7th, 9/11, COVID, what's going to happen? What's going on in the American presidential election? He is alive, he's not alive, he's aware, he isn't, he is. What's the significance? What's the ramification? Lay malacha biyad Hashem. You see something's happening in the world. There's a war in Ukraine. Ein peronius balaylam ela bishvil Yisrael. All peronius, all things that happen is a message for us. And the message is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating everything. And you know something? It can't serve. It's not just the reality. It can serve for us as a rationale to help us to make our lives more serene, to make our lives more masudr, to be able to, once we process the disappointment and the misfortune, and yes, even the trauma, we can take a step back. First, we need to process it. There's no doubt. We're busa v'dam. But at the same time, the more times we get used to processing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'toiv, is behind it. And you didn't get the job, that was Rav Pam. You didn't get the job, that was Rav Yaakov. You were in business and you decided to leave it and to put more time into ruchnius. That's the altar from the Badik. That was Rav Chatzko Levenstein. You wonder how the state of Israel against all the nations of the world. That's Eddie Jacobson. And that's the situation now, even with the war in Gaza. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything. We may not see the Yeshua at this moment. Think of Pesach, think of Purim. It's all in the book. To create clarity, to show us in Anu Lihishoyen, and in that schus, we will be able to live our lives with purpose, to meet our tafkid, our purpose that we were created for, Hakol Baruch Lichvodo, and to be able to bring the Geula according to the Mishnah, in Soitim and Tesam Abeis, in Anu Lihishoyen El Avinu Shebashamayim.
Beautiful opening. Okay, let's take a little poll from the Olam, and then we'll get into questions. Again, if anybody has any questions, please text. Asher Barnes will be here, and the live questions go first. Rabbi Kleiman is ready, willing, and able to answer any questions. So let's put it out there. Here we go. Three question poll, okay, Rabbi Kleiman? Here we go.
Go for it. Okay.
First question. How often do you consciously think about Hashgacha Pratis in your daily life? Number one, I'm always seeing Hashem in my day. Number two, once a day or once a week. Like once in a while, you see it. Number three, I know the concept, but I don't live with it. Again, this is like, how do you rate yourself? How often do you feel Shkach Pratis, everything's happening with a chesed? How often do you actually feel? Be honest. It's about, just want to see what people think. Number two, in what areas of your life do you most strongly feel the presence of Shkach Pratis? Like people feel Shkach Pratis. Number one in money business, right? Oh, I made a deal. Hashem. Do you feel it by health and well-being? Or do you feel it the most when I'm going through very difficult struggles. That's when you feel Hashgacha Pratis. Number three, what do you believe is the best way to teach awareness of Hashgacha Pratis to the children? How do you give it over? What's the Messiah? How do you give it over to children? Number one, teaching them to recognize and appreciate small miracles. Number two, sharing stories of divine intervention and protection. Like, you know, sharing the stories of Hashgacha Pratis. And number three, leading by example through your own practice and belief. When they see that everything you talk about, everything you do is Hashgacha Pratis, they pick it up naturally. So what do you think is the best way to teach it to your children? Those are the three questions. Everybody, pass, everybody vote. Rabbi Kleiman will do a chazara and then we'll go into the questions, okay?
Okay, go for it.
We're in. Five more seconds. Okay, let's share the poll. Okay, the first question. How often do you consciously think about Hashgacha Pratis in your daily life? Climbing 56% of people here, they always see Hashem in their day. Chashra crowd over here. Number two, 34% of people once a day or once a week. Number three, 10%, they know the concept, but they don't really live with it. It's a concept, but it's not really, we're not able to tap into that. Any comment on that first poll before we go to the next one?
Okay, let's go to the next one. We'll connect them all.
What areas of your life do you most strongly feel the presence of Hashgacha Pratis? I'm actually shocked by this one because most people I know, business and men, they're always busy with Hashem and Besharet, but only 17% of people voted money and business, 37% of people health and well-being, and the winning answer, 46% of people here tonight, they feel the strongest Hashgacha Pratis when they're going through difficult struggles in their life.
By the way, they're like David HaMelech. I'll tell you why, but let's go to number three.
Okay. What do you believe is the best way to teach awareness of Hashgacha Pratis to your children? 22% of people teaching them to recognize and appreciate small miracles. 15% of sharing stories of Hashgacha Pratis. 64% of people leading by example through our own practice and belief. They see that you believe in it. You talk about it. You show how your day worked out Hashgacha Pratis. That's how our kids will pick it up and they'll learn how to live with it. Those are the three polls. I'm going to stop sharing it. Rabbi Kleiman, you could...
Okay. So first of all, I'll tell you what Rav Moshe, in 1984, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Chatzkel told his daughter, that means the Rosh Hashiva in Chicago, was it Chicago? Yes. And Rav Levin, I believe, also used to say it. Just last week, Hashgacha Pratis, I found that Rav Noach Weinberg had suggested it. Keep a personal journal. I mentioned it in the book. In fact, at the end of every day where there are stories, we give little hints as to how to take the message of that day.
I'm sorry. I remember as a kid I was growing up, they always said if somebody would write a Hashgacha Pratis journal, because what happens, you have it clear, and then within a very short period of time, you totally forget about it. Right. But if you actually keep a journal, like you look back, right. It's like unbelievable thing to have.
Yeah, not only that, you know who was the first one that did that really? The Jews when they went out of Mitzrayim. No, I'm not that old. I have some gray, but I'm not that old. What happened was the Makkos happened to the Mitzrayim, and it doesn't say Vayaminu Bashem Uba Moshe Abdu. And then, when the Eivishter, by Kriya Samsov, all of a sudden the Pasuk said, Vayamiru Basheb of Moshe Avdoi, why wait until then? So there's a famous story with Rav Chatzkel, which I'd like to share. Again, it's in the book. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein is in a cab with a secular Israeli cab driver. And he, you know, they're talking, and the Israeli cab driver tells Rav Chatzkel, you know, I just came from India because I served time in the army and a bunch of friends, we took some time out, you know, to chill for a couple of weeks. We went to India. So we went to India and we stayed in a tent. And in the middle of the night, one evening, one of my fellow soldiers, one of my friends, he started screaming. There was a poisonous snake around his neck. And they what do I do? He's dying. He's gonna. They say, a Jew, right before he dies, says Shema Yisrael.
So this secular Jew with the poisonous snake around his neck says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem L'Gashem Echad, and the snake miraculously slithers away. So he tells Rav Chatzkol, and because of that great miracle, my friend the next morning got on a plane, and he's currently, this is years later, he is studying in a religious yeshiva, he's studying Talmud and Torah. Because of the miracle that happened to him, he saw God's hand that saved him. Rav Chatzkol says, and what about you? And he said, hey, it didn't happen to me. What's the point? That's Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. When they came out of Mitzrayim, all the Nisim, it doesn't say by Yamin Bashem, all the Makis. Sure, by Kriya Samsov, it happened to them. That's why your title for your whole series, Make It Real, that's the main deal. Make It Real is the deal. The deal, I just gave you a new plea, and the deal is to make it real. If you make it real, guess what? You've got a deal. You've got everything you need. And so that is the whole Yisrael. So if you keep a journal of personal stories of events that happen, if it didn't happen to you, at least you've seen it. That is the best way to elevate. And again, this is putting one brick on top of the other. You know, the parad binu was sulam mutzav orza, a ladder, varosha magia shemayim. You want to reach the stars in spirituality and ruchnius, you go up a sulam, a ladder, one step at a time. One story at a time. One event at a time. Whether it's on the world stage, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's the shidduch that worked, the deal that worked, or even the shidduch that never did not work when you were hoping that it should work. That's Rav Chatzkol losing his money when he was 16. That's Rav Yaakov not getting the job, having to come to that wasteland full America. That's Rav Pam. That's the Alta from the Vadik. We can go on and on and on and on. And it's you, because the Abish is giving you a Nisayon, which is a banner. A banner is to announce, to take your koyach, your potential, and to implement it into the poel, into reality. So that is really the best way of, really, that is the answer to number three. Number two, in what areas do you most strongly feel the presence of Hashgacha Pratis when I'm going through very difficult struggles? So let me bring you back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Mizmo leDavid bevarcha b'vnei Avshalom b'no. He says a mizmo, a song, when he's running away from Avshalom, his son, who wants to kill him. The Gemara in Brachos, hey, Amidala. Says the Gemara, David HaMelech was told by the Novi, you will have a ro'ah, something evil in your house. So David HaMelech thinks like, he says, look, if it would have been an Eved, a slave, or a mamzer, you know what a mamzer, a mamzer is a real mamzer, right? So then I would not have seen the Yad Hashem. It would have been Teva. The fact that it was my son, therefore he was Mesameach, he was happy. The obvious question is, his son, that was worse. An Eved or a mamzer, it's not premeditated. He's a bad guy. He's going to kill anyone. He's going to run after somebody to harm them. Your own child, said Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, if it's your own child that is so unusual, it must be Yad Hashem. In other words, it's so clear that David HaMelech was ecstatic, the fact that he was able to see Yad Hashem, and he knew it was his father holding his arms and saying, jump to me, I will catch you. I know it looks daunting. I know it looks difficult. I know it looks traumatic. I know it looks chaotic. But I am your father, Avinu Shebashamayim. Jump. Rely on me. It's a message, David HaMelech. You have to do tshuva, which he did. Which is typically, almost always, the message. Ein peronius bala oilam. Bad things come to Bishvil Yisrael. Not that we caused it. Bishvil, God is doing us a favor. I want to hint to you. Do tshuva, think of me. I'm running the show. Etzemach David Avdecho Meher Satzmiach. The geula will be like planting seeds in the ground. What happens to the seeds? They rot, they decay. You plow it, you stomp on it, you put fertilizer on it, and you want me to eat stuff that's going to grow 3 months later? Are you for real? There's dirt and fertilizer, and I'm supposed to eat it? It's called a tomato? Huh? Yeah. Because it's Etzemach David, the Abish is the one that's doing it. It might look difficult now, but jump into my arms. Look at the tapestry. The other side is beauty. It's not chaos. I know what I'm doing, the Avista said. I created everything for you. The people that you know and the house that you live in and the system and day and night and heat and cool and air conditioning just for you. That's the Mishnah of Sanhedrin. The world was created just for you. So everything that's happening is included in that. Hamachadosh b'tuvoy b'chol yoyim. The Eibishter renews b'chol yoyim every day. Tomid, constantly, continuously, ma'aseh v'reishis. So what's the difference? The big things, the small things, it's everything. Tomid, ma'aseh v'reishis. So it's all coming from God. It's all from the Eibishter. Might be a lesson. It might be a schus, it might be a kapora. You know, the cheshbonos are up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't ask my grandchild who's 2 years old, so what do you think? Should we put wallpaper on the wall or would it look nicer with let's give it a light color. You know what I mean? He's looking at the wall, he doesn't see anything. I once went to a chasaneh. And it was beautiful. It was in Muncie on the top of a hill in a beautiful hotel, a 12-piece orchestra. It was stunning. A June day, not a gorgeous day. And the hotel had this big box. They must have delivered huge refrigerator freezers. And three little 5-year-olds were running through as the band is playing. And it's stunning. The scenery and the flowers and the background and the trees and the sky and everything. Here comes Chosson Kala. A relative, you love them. You know them. Ah. And I'm looking at these kids running through. They have no idea what in the world's going on. And I'm thinking, don't they see what I see? Yes, they do see, but they have no idea what they don't understand. There's no way we can understand how the Avista runs his world. Absolutely no way. Is it easy? No, because, you know, yeah. You know what kind of deal I did last week? I'm a smart guy. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? Hey, yeah, you know how I pulled it off? Let me tell you. But that was also the Avista. That's Unkelis in Devarim. The point is, everything is Hashgacha Pratis. And even the difficult struggles. Now, the problem is, everything is from the Eibishter. How come everything is so difficult to ascertain, to discern? So I have a whole chapter in the book. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag now. It's a concept. I'll just give it to you in 10 seconds worth. Look for unusual events. Just like David HaMelech did himself. And when you ascribe those events to the Eibishter because they are so unusual, I call it your wow moments. Use your wow moments to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. Oh, must have been the Eibishter. He's the only one who can pull it off. Even if it's difficult, how could a bunch of terrorists pull off against the most high-tech billion-dollar system in the Middle East. How? And the Dafgan Simchas Torah, like the timing, everything. Who pulled it off? When they pulled it off? Where they pulled it off? The day they pulled it off? Everything is Yad Hashem. Be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the unusual situations, keep a journal, and then the day-to-day will start to come to us. And those two will be so revealing, and you know what will happen? An honorable Yishoyin will become so much easier for us, and we will then be zeicha to be part of the geula, because we will be on that matrega where we can recognize the Yad Hashem when the geula comes.
Okay, Rabbi Clement, let's go to some live questions, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Hi, Rabbi Kleinman. You know, listening, I realized like I'm very grateful. A lot of things that have happened lately. I don't want to bore you with it. You know, there, I see there's a certain
Kol HaLashon.
Fortune. I don't really think I'm so deserving. But at the same time, I'm still like ruminate over a lot of mistakes. I don't know to what extent you can say we have free choice. You can, you know, we mess up in certain areas, but I don't know how I can quit hitting my, like, so to speak, hitting myself over the head over certain mistake, what I perceive as mistakes or failings. I mean, you just say everything. Yeah, it comes from Hashem, but there's still things I feel like I could have done better, should have done, or not have done. I mean, how do you reconcile that kind of a feeling? I keep going back and forth with it where I get really depressed. A lot of times I'm like, I don't want to say elated, but great, as I said, grateful.
Okay,
so it's a little hard to maintain an equilibrium, when you put it that way.
Let me answer your question. So let me rephrase it to see if I understand it so that my answer answers your question. You're feeling at times more connected and at times more distant, and therefore you would like to know what to do with that, or you want to know why.
Yeah, I'd like to know what to do with that, or just maybe not get so depressed over things that...
Okay, so you're going...
On things that she made mistakes, or she looked back...
I feel like I made mistakes.
Did something that she shouldn't have done, and now she ruminates, and she hits herself over the head. Like, how could she use a shkaka? Like, how is she supposed to look at it in a...
Rav Schwab once said, he said over from Ramat Hashem Solomon, who said that even mistakes are hashkaka pratis. Everything that happens... All the places that you've been to, all the things that you do, and again, the thought process for the decisions that you made are all hashgacha pratis. Now, if there are negative things that have happened because of that, number one, you're a regular person, meaning you're a person living on earth, and we're not expected to get everything right the first shot. So please, that's all the sutton. You know, he's a bad guy. He wants you not to succeed. And he sees that you have so much potential. Proof of that is that you're on the right side of the ledger when you don't fall into that Yetzer Hara pull. So what I'm telling you is you are at Tzelem Elokim. You have tremendous potential. And if you daven to Hashem to give you the strength and the wisdom, he will help you. It's a process. When you walk up the ladder like Yaakov Avinu, it takes time to get there. But keep Rosho Magias Maya, keep your heights, your eyes to the stars. And don't worry. By the way, one last point. You ever jump on a trampoline?
Oh, yes.
The harder you push down, the higher you go right after. Mm-hmm. So if you go down, guess what? You've got great heights coming your way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Every climbing makes...
Yeah, learning from mistakes as well, I guess, is, so I can, be the beneficial, yeah.
Keep climbing. It's mm-hmm. what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you. Habola Taher, the one who wants to purify himself, Messiah in Oso, he will help.
Rabbi Klein, this concept is also for people that want to do tshuva for certain averus.
Oh, absolutely. Every single, do you know that Dovid HaMelech, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom. David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba. You know why? To teach us to do tshuva. Klal Yisrael with the eagle. Now this is an aspect. There is more to the story. But an aspect of David HaMelech's incident with Bathsheba was to teach us that we can do tshuva regardless as to what happened. the Jewish people with the eagle in the Midbar, in the desert, was to show us that even when many people do a sin, they can do tshuva. If a person wants to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to help him. He's got to take the first step. But don't get dismayed. Don't lose hope. A Jew is made. Look at the Jewish people. We've been surrounded by thousands of years. Think of what Mark Twain said. We are still here. You know who also said that? The second president of the United States, John Quincy Adams. He said there's something divine about the Jewish people. It's not just the nation. It's we as individuals. Each one is considered to be an olam koton, an olam mole, a complete, a facsimile of the whole world, if you will. We are intricate and complex, but we have so much potential. Let me put it to you this way. The saying is, God, don't make junk. If you are created, let me tell you, there is unbelievable things that are coming down the turnpike.
Amazing.
Next question.
Okay. Let's go to the next question. Give me 1 second. Unmute. Hi.
Hi, hello. Okay, so actually a similar question. I'd like to know when can I just fold my hands and decide that Hashem is in control and I could relax? But then I have the pressure that how much do I need to do, or how much is my bechira? This is one. And my second question is that whenever I fail in something, I feel so bad and guilty, but when I'm successful, it's all Hashgacha Pratit. It's like Hashem's credit. So when may I feel good? And like, is it a two-way street? If I feel bad, then I'm allowed to feel good when I'm successful, or I need to give Hashem the credit each and every time, so I shouldn't feel that guilty when I fail?
So let me answer your second question first. Megalgalin Schus al Yedei Zakai. God, the Eibishter, chooses the people to give the schus, the merit to succeed. And he picks the really good ones. Megagel and schus aydei zakai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're made of. And he knows that you're the one he can give the success to. So when you succeed, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the credit. At the same time, recognize that you always have bechira, free choice. And the reason why things are so difficult in life, our struggles, we should do a whole separate thing on bechira. The reason is because, you know what the reward is? It's not only good, great, Michta Melio describes it, all the wonderful feelings of all the people throughout all the generation that ever was and will be, goes into, is not even equal to one moment of the hanor, of the benefit, of the pleasure in Olam Haba for an individual. So think about when you married off your son, daughter, when your child came back from camp in one piece, everything in the trunk, you know. We once had that. Yeah, and it turns out that my son brought everything back, and we asked him, why this? He said, I forgot to open it. Okay, but that's it's a whole different story. But I digress. I apologize. But so everything, all the wonderful feelings is in. So that's why things are such a struggle, because the reward is for eternity. That means it goes on and on and on. We can't even understand it. That's why things are so difficult. Let me summarize. When you do things well, give yourself credit because you had the bechira to not to do it well. Even though God gave you the neshama, he gave you the machshava, the thought, he gave you the brains, the wherewithal, the abilities, the potential, the attributes, the thought process, at the same time, you then have to do something with it. So please, give yourself a hug when you do something well. You deserve it. Okay, repeat your first question. What was the first question?
More about shtablus. How about?
Okay. So I'll give it to you with pasas shalach. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hakadosh Baruch Hu, should I send meraglim? Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, l'daitcho, up to you. Says Michta Meliyo, even to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu did not tell him exactly how much shtablus. It's a subjective, individualized thing. What does that mean? Start small and move up the ladder. Move up the ladder, move up the ladder, move up the ladder. Rav Dessler called it Nukudas Habachira. Here, you've got a range. Move the range up. Move it up. Keep on moving it up. Slowly but surely. That's how you move up your Estadlus. For those that have Betochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then if you're at the point that you don't have to make so much histadlus, that means you are living l'mayla menateva because you rely totally on Hashem. Most people, the Gemara in Brachas, Abba Asakar, Shimon ben Yochai, v'lay also v'yada, it did not work. Most people don't feel bad if you're not up to there yet. Most people ain't up to there yet either. And that's okay. Have I answered your question?
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful, my pleasure. Next question.
Oh, okay, let's go.
Come on, let's hear it. Really, you know.
Hi. Thank you so much for what you've said so far.
My pleasure.
I'm wondering, what if one recognizes that life circumstances are from Hashem, but gets mad and hurt at Hashem for causing these things to happen to him?
Ooh, very good. Okay. So number one, I'll tell you, you're human. I'm human. If I don't get that parking spot, I'm glad you're not in the car with me. I'm human. You're human. We are all human. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. That's the lifelong struggle with midos, with perspective. All this is a struggle. Life is made. Adam lo omol yulad. That's the struggle of life. There's great reward. The goal with understanding and feeling Hashem in our lives, I'll use a quote from Benjamin Franklin. If we fail to prepare, that means we are preparing to fail. This whole thing called life is to get us to prepare. This world is the corridor, the foyer, to the palace in Shemayim, which is our Olam Haba. So all this that we go through and sometimes we fail, it's all a preparation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us an opportunity. Yes, an opportunity sometimes to even fail. We can learn our lesson so that the next time we can succeed in spades. Did that make sense? So don't judge the failure when it's happening to be the be-all and end-all. Connect the dots, which is one of the days in the book. Learn to connect the dots and understand that all the dots are coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's trying to get us to learn something. It could be an Asayin, it could be Tshuva, it could be a Schus, it could be a Kapara. It could be one of many things. It could be the lesson to not to judge something when it's happening. Like Rav Pam did, like Rav Yaakov did, like Rav Chatzkel did. Like we need to do. That's right. We can, for those things, be like Rav Yaakov, like Rav Pam, like Rav Chatzkel. As the Mishnah tells us, a person is obligated to say, Moshe Yagiu Maisa L'Maisa Avos. When will my action be on the level of the others? Because we have that potential. Wait, but I failed today? You know what we call the tzaddik? How many times does the tzaddik fall? And he's still called the tzaddik. How many times?
Seven.
Seven times, and he's still called the tzaddik? Are you kidding me? If it were me, I wouldn't call him a tzaddik. I'd call him, I don't know. No, I wouldn't call him that, but I'd call him not a tzaddik. No, he is called a tzaddik. Because these are all nisyonos. And if you succeeded one, you are like Yaakov Avinu, one step up the ladder. One step up the ladder. Another step up the ladder. You fell, press down on the trampoline. Look how high you'll go. And the Abishik, I'm sorry.
A lot of people have a hard time when they're in that moment of judging and when they feel angry. It's like you're saying, it's hard for them. And then they feel guilty. You know,
I understand that.
To connect the dots, and then they feel guilty because if it's really Hashem, why am I angry? And then it goes like in a circle and they don't get out of it.
Okay, so two things I'll tell you. First, I'll tell you the Balei Machshava, Rav Dessler included in that description, described that the world is made of Yemei Ahava and Yemei Sino, days of love and days of hatred. I'll ask you a question. If I light a match, if the room is lit, will you notice the lit match?
Nope. Not as much.
No. If the room is dark, will you notice the lit match? And you know what? The darker the room, the greater is the recognition. Sometimes we need to fail. Sometimes we need to feel that we've hit almost rock bottom. And this time, I'm going to make a Kabbalah. Nasa v'nishma. If you want to fast on any given day, a tainis yochid, not the tzibur fast, that everyone fast, like Chom Gedalia, but an individual fast, you make a Kabbalah. You are makabel in the mincha the day before. Kabbalah is a resolution. I'm resolute. I want to be better. But sometimes it takes us to fall and to fail for us to dig deep and say, you know something, I got to stop the nonsense. I really need to dig deep and to say, I really want to become better. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. And years later, you'll look back and you'll embark on a program of a lesson a day or 2 minutes a day, or one word and davening to know a day. And 5 years later, you'll look back and you'll say, look how far I've come. Look how high I've gone. I can see the stars, and I'm one of them. Rav Gifter, as a child, would have pictures of Gedolim on the wall, and he left the middle square blank, and he wrote a little note, why not me? Why not me? We all can do the same, no matter where we're holding, no matter who we are. There's a story about the speaker who holds up a dollar bill. What? You see that? Ashkocha Pratis, I don't have a dollar bill on me. Abister, no, help me. Well, guess what? Ashkocha Gamzu also. He holds up a dollar bill. I have a check in my hand. He holds up a dollar bill. And he says, who wants the dollar bill? All the hands go up. And then he crumples it up. And he says, who wants the crumpled up dollar bill? And all the hands go up. And then he throws it on the ground and he stomps on it in a ferocious, with great ferocity. And he picks it up and holds it up and says, who wants the crumbled, disgusting, dilapidated, torn, ripped, almost completely shredded dollar bill? And all the hands go up. Why? Because it doesn't matter how crumpled you are. It doesn't matter how dirty you are, because the essence of the dollar bill has value. Every single Jew has tremendous value. Each one of us, we are a Tzelem Elokim. It don't matter where we are today. It's where can we get to if we keep our eye, Rosho Magia HaShemayim. If we look up at the stars, like Rav Gifter said, and why not me? If we look up at the stars and we say, why not me? You know, a star, the Gemara, if you're learning Dafayomi, the Gemara makes a comparison between a Malamde Tinoikis, someone who teaches little children, to the stars in the sky. Why? So the Mashor explains the stars in the sky from the distance. It looks like little dots. What is it? He got closer, and they are unbelievably important. They are state. They elicit so much luster and shine. The one who's teaching the small children in a young grade, you know what? From a distance, you figure, come on, he's not the Rosh Yeshiva. Well, guess what? So what? Big deal. Who cares? You get close up to him, and he is formulating who these great children will become. Like the stars. Each one of us from a distance, we might think that we're nothing. We're little nothing, little sparks. But you get close up into the Kishkas, into the Neshama, into the Tzelem Elokim, and the Eibishter knows. And the Eibishter knows that we are all potential stars. So it doesn't matter where you've been and who you are and where you are right now. Give it some time. Time heals. And over time, we can be better, and we will. And we will be omed. We will withstand the Nisayon. And we will reach for our greatness. So guess what? This is all B'yad Hashem. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once again, if he sees that the person really wants to be better over time, Habola Taher, the one who wants to be Metaher, to purify himself, Messiah Oso. And even if you fall 7 times, you're still called the Tzaddik. Have I answered your question?
Amazing.
Thank you.
Here's a question that somebody sent in. Just backing up a little bit. I was always brought up in this concept with Hashem. Hashem is in charge, everything is Bashert, and everything is Hashgacha Pratis. What is the goal of living, what's the goal of living with Hashgacha Pratis? Basically backing up, what's the goal? What are we working on?
Okay.
Why?
Okay, let's take a step back. Each one of us was created. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu must think that, guess what, it was worth it for him to create us. Each one of us has a purpose, a tafkid. A way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some are learning full-time, some are learning part-time. The women are helping the husbands in whatever the husband's doing. Do you know what we say in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva? Zochreinu L'chaim, remember me for life. Melech Chofetz B'chaim, a God who wants us to live. V'kosveinu, and write us B'seiv HaChaim, and oh why? Laman Cho, to serve you, whatever it is. Not just the person learning 24/7. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakeh comes out of the cave after how many years? 13 years. And he looks at someone running, Erev Shabbos, and he gazes at him, and the person burns to a crisp. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Rabbi Yehoshua, go back where you came from. He goes back and he comes out again. And he looks at another person, and then he realizes, ah, this person is running for Erev Shabbos to serve Hashem. Unbelievable. Laman Cho. It doesn't matter why the Rambam and Hilchos Day is Paragimel Halacha Gimel. If our machshava, if our intent, if our goal, if our desire, if our sheif, if our teshuka, if our vision, if our reach is to serve Hashem in whatever capacity. That's why all the Shvatim had banners, different pictures. Because we all have a different way to serve Hashem, some with chesed and some with Torah and some with tefillah. And some doing an unbelievable, what do you call this, a podcast? Every single Sunday night that a machazik, thousands upon thousands of elevating people from all ends of the world. Unbelievable. We're all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So no matter what, it's all Laman Cho. If that's the Kavanah, if that's the Machshava, if that's the thought, if that's the goal, if that's the purpose. You see, everyone has a purpose. Kesheim she'ein partzufeihem shavas. Just like the faces are not the same. Kach ein deyos shavas. A Machshava, a thought. And the way we do things is not the same. Mr. Milio says, could you imagine everybody is serving Hashem? Everybody's going to do the same way? You know, boring, so to speak, Kabayochel that would be. Do it. Everybody should do it differently. That's unbelievable. That's the tapestry.
I mean, what's the goal? What do we gain by living? You're not answering the question.
What's the gain of
living with Hashgacha Pratis. What do we gain personally? What do we gain?
We gain with an awareness and getting closer, connecting, and then life becomes easier. We view the world that everything is spirituality, everything is ruchnius, hamachadet betuvai, our perception, our outlook, our midas, our relationship, our connection, our desires, our vacations, our homes, our children, our lives, our spouses, our parents. Everyone becomes affected. The child, years later, they say to you as the father, you know, Ta, the reason why I ever say to you, because you would learn 2 a.m. when we came up from a chasana to prepare your share. You affect, everyone is affected by everybody else, and we are all aware of the Eibishter. Could you imagine the level that we will elevate ourselves in all the mundane things that we do? Certainly for the things that have spirituality, the way we learn, the way we daven, the way we do chesed, the way we keep Shabbos, we elevate our game. We do things with a different focus. We fulfill our purpose, our tafkid, and we connect with the Shekhinah. Not only in Olam Haba, but in this world, we feel it. It's vibrant. It's real. That's the name of your deal, the real deal. And you're right, because that's the only way to do it. In fact, that's one of the maladies of today's generation. Taken from the Rosh Hashiva in Washington. That's Lopiansky. The disconnect. Yes, Gavaldik, we do mitzvot, but we need to connect more. Because the whole reason, or I should say the main, one of the main reasons, says the Arizal, to do mitzvot is to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the connection means we want to be like him. We feel his presence. We feel he's in the room. He's watching. He's there. He's listening. He's focused on us. Everything we do matters. The Nefesh HaChayim, we do a mitzvah. It's like shaking the string connected to all the worlds. And that's understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And the beauty of the mitzvahs and of the Torah. Have I answered the question?
Yeah, Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world in a way that it should look like Teva, and our job is to see Hashem in every.
That's correct. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? That's Adam Arishon. That's for another evening. That's Adam Arishon. That's Adam Arishon. We have to correct. He figured he'll eat from the Eish Hadas, Yishal Elohim. He'll have everything at his fingertips. So we do our Ishtadlus Kochem V'Yatzim Yodi. And Rav Zundel Salat, said the Mechter Meliyah, would buy a lottery ticket. That was the extent of his Ishtadlus. Because he could make the mistake to think that he picked the winning number. So when we work, and it's, hey, did I tell you about the deal I did last week? Boy, am I smart. Let me tell you what I did. If we think Kochem V'Yatzim Yodi, and we are masakin when we see it's the Avish that we are masakin the chet of other Marishan. Makes so much sense. That's the Beis HaLevi.
So he bought the lottery ticket not to win.
He bought the make it a Shtadlus. He knew.
And Hashem sent him Parnassa.
Right. So since it's possible had he won, he would have thought that it was his Chokhma, then that is the level of his Shtadlus. Then again, the altar was learning in a log cabin to the light of a candle. A wind came and blew out the candle. The altar picked himself up, went outside into the woods where the cabin was. And right then a man walks right by holding a candle, puts it on his table. For 25 years, this story is also in the book, for 25 years until a fire came and burnt out the candle. The altar held that the Eibishter wanted me to hold the candle, the stub, for 25 years as a reminder that he runs the world. After that, it was ingrained. I didn't need it anymore as a reminder. So we get reminders all the time. And everyone on the level of their betachen and where they are connected to the Eibishter. Rav Chatzkol, I have a story in the book. You want to hear this one? Cute story. Chas and Kala, they get married, and they go into their apartment, right at the Shevet Brachos. And they walk in, and they see a bird flying through the apartment. Oh, what does that mean? What's the simon? They want to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. They tell Rav Chaim, And what happened right after, and we came home and we saw the bird. What does that mean? What's the lesson? Rav Chaim looked at him. He said, the lesson is that before you leave a room, don't forget to shut the windows. Not a great story. So one of the days of the book, when I talk about Tapkut and Ashkacha Pratis, is, so you have to know. So I'll tell you another story. You want to hear the next story? Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rav Shimon Russell. He's learning in Lakewood. This is also in the book. He's learning. We have over 125 true stories. Rav Shimon Russell is learning in Lakewood. He wants to be a mechanic. And one day on his bench, Nebuchs, there's a bachur who goes through very difficult times, and he committed suicide. Nebuch. And it's bugging Rav Shimon Russell for weeks. All the other guys on the bench, you know what I mean? I mean, Nebuch was a bad story, but like, you know, we need to get on with life, right? So he doesn't know what that means. Ashkacha Pratis, what does it mean? And he can't figure it out on his own. So he goes there to show to the stipler. And he tells the stipler, this has been bugging me for weeks. I can't get it out of my system. But the truth is, and he says, you know, I'm thinking of becoming a psychologist, social work. He figured the stipler, but he said, I want to be a mashgiach, a mechanech, a rebbe. Stipler tells him, Fanadu Asach mentioned there are many, many people that could become rabbeim and mashgichim. But the fact that it bothered you so much, that's a simon, you need to become a therapist to help from people in Lakewood. He didn't mean that Lakewood needed it to be. That's where he was living. Yeah, this unbelievable Ashkacha Pratis. You have something that happens. You don't know what it means. Yeah. So when Rav Chatzko lost the money, he was so connected to the Eibishter. He interpreted it, and correctly so, that guess what? I'm not working. He was 16 years old. I'm going back to Yeshiva in Lomzer. He became the famous Rav Chatzko Levenstein. Because that's where he was holding. So for him, it's klal, no suffix. What about for me? What about for somebody else? So I don't know. So for sure, I'll go ask the Adam Gadol. The Adam Gadol will decide. Maybe the Adam Gadol's decision is based on where I'm holding, the way I asked the question. I once had a chava that asked me, you know, I'm there, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, but how am I going to make a panosa? I looked at him, I said, the fact that you said, but how am I going to make a panosa that the simon don't go? It's not for you. You know what I mean? And then a story in the book about this couple, this young woman, 32 years old, she gets a diagnosis. It wasn't yet a mouth. It was a terrible neurological disease. She like, oh, what am I going to do? So she goes to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. Maisa Shahoya. Rav Shmuel says, don't worry. Everything will be fine. The next day, on a Sunday, she gets a phone call from a second doctor who said, I saw your file. The first opinion was a total misdiagnosis. You are fine. So the next day, she goes to Rav Shmuel. She wants to tell Rav Shmuel, the Rosh Hashiva, what the Rosh Hashiva said. Kachoya. Rosh Hashiva says, there, I'm glad. And then she said to Rav Shmuel, Hashgacha Pratis, hello. She said to Rav Shmuel, now we can go to Eretz Yisrael for 3 weeks in the summer. We love to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rosh Hashiva looks and says, oh, you love Eretz Yisrael? She says, yes. Rosh Hashiva says, I think you should move there. 2 weeks later, they picked themselves up with their 4 children and a business, and they are currently living in Eretz Yisrael. They're in constant contact with the Rosh Hashiva because they're on the Shainis. But you see, right away, that was the Rosh Hashiva's ethic. And the whole story was built on a misdiagnosis. They would have never gone to talk to him about anything. They would have never told him they loved Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, hi. I want to know, how do you keep yourself, like, happy Like, I guess, like, Hashgacha process, if you're not married, you're still waiting for Bashert. Meanwhile, how do you keep yourself, like, happy now? In between, you're waiting for your Bashert. And, yeah, until, like, it's a while already. So I was, like, wondering any good tips for that.
So I'm unclear if you can,
If it's basically waiting for your Bashert, like, in between, like, what Hashgacha process can I learn from that? Like, waiting for the Bashar until I find it.
Okay, maybe, or Coach Malcolm,
it's hard for him, and he wants to, he's waiting for his Bashar. Like, how could he say this is what Hashem wants? This is like, and he's feeling depressed from it. He wants to be, feel chizik from it. He wants to feel Hashem is with him. That's a Shvachah brothers that he's not married yet.
Oh, okay. So first of all, the best way, again, as I mentioned earlier, is unusual situation, what you experience or you see, even outside the Shidduchim realm. If you see Yad Hashem in something, it's Hashgacha Pratis that you happen to have tuned in this evening. Maybe you would not have. And you decide, I don't know how you would not have. I can't be masik how. But let's say you would not have. Okay, or you know what I mean? So anything unusual in your life, start to keep a personal journal. Just write it down for you. And as the stories start to accumulate, you'll start to see the Yad Hashem, Hashgacha Pratis. Once you begin to connect from the other situations, then you will now become a more connected person. Oh, you're a more connected person. You're going to be Zaycha. That the Eivishter will do certain things for you that are lamaila than the typical Teva. So what I'm suggesting to you is, do things to elevate your schusim in the area of connection to the Eivishter, and in that schus, that will help you to, number one, become more connected, to ascertain the Yad Hashem in your personal situations, and you will have a schus for getting on a higher level, and that will help that the Eibishter will intervene for Hashgacha Pratis. You know, Rav Ella Lapayon and others, they say clearly, Hashgacha Pratis for the Eibishter to be involved in a personal Hashgacha Pratis, even lamaila than the typical Teva, if you will, is for any individual. You don't have to be a tzaddik. If you get to that level, you are now working at a higher level. You don't have to work in the teva where everything is hidden level. And then stuff will happen like, oh wow, how did that happen? You understand? Unusual events will start to happen and they will happen to you. You will feel more connected. And in that schus that you feel more connected, you will then be zayecha. It becomes spiraling upwards. Okay. Have I answered your question? What?
Yeah, excellent, Rav Lyman. Let's get just a little clarity, just some basic. Please clarify what's the difference of living with Amun and Betochen versus keeping our eyes open on Hashgacha Pratis. Like, is Amun and Betochen, Hashgacha Pratis is the same word, or is it two different things?
Okay, so Amunah is the, I'll use the word, the macro approach. It's the theory, it's God's world. Betochen is the way we apply it in our lives. That's the Chazon Ish, Beth Gamliel, Rav Yeruchim, and Hashgacha Pratis are called the fruits of our betochen. When we have betochen, which means we're ready to apply God, the Eibishter, in our lives, we begin, things start to happen with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, putting his stamp on it. And his stamp, we start to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world more readily and more easily. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, all the while, it's Hashgacha Pratis, even in Teva, because there's no such thing as Teva, but we don't connect, we don't see it. That's part of our Bechira. But if we elevate ourselves, then our level of Bechira and the Kudah of Bechira start to go up, and we start to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world, which is what will happen when the Geula comes. Everybody will say, what was I thinking all these years? Next question.
Before we go to the next question,
yeah.
Just suggesting that every time something happens, we should go ask.
Okay.
Or we can decide on our own.
Okay, so if it's clear to us, it's so blatant, it's not the bird in the room with the window open, by the way, it's so blatant, so then that's typically the event of this 32-year-old that went to Rav Shmuel, she would have never gone to tell him that she loved to go to Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, the Rashida said, ah, why don't you move? So that was clearly to them. And to, when I heard the story, I said, that's Hashgacha Prata. It's, because it's so off the wall, it would have never happened. To Rav Chatzkol, losing money from after going to the mikvah, to him that was Hashgacha, it was a message. Maybe Rav Chatzkol was toying with whatever he was dealing with at that time, and therefore that was the Makkah Patash, the straw that broke the camel's back, that induced him to push him to take that course of action. Have I answered your question? So a person has to know where he's holding. And then again, to some people, hey, the most obvious thing can happen, and they say, oh, well, I don't know, boy. Yeah, wow, what a coincidence. We have a whole bunch of days on coincidence, and it's no coincidence because there's no such thing as a coincidence.
And then you can have somebody that his rough says, why don't you go? But they don't take it seriously, and they don't.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, come on. You know what I mean. Come on.
So yeah. How should you know if you should take it seriously and say, this is Hashgacha Prata, this is exactly what Hashem wants from me, or to say, yeah, it's a good idea, but I can't really do it.
So that's why Rav Shimon Russell went to the Stipler, because it's a shver shaila, difficult question. So let's go through the different levels quickly. The first level is the person, no matter what happens, it's like, you know, he sees nothing. Right? You know, Avraham Avinu says to Eliezer, right? And he says to Yitzchak, Har HaMaria, what do you see? Yitzchak sees, I'll give you a better muscle, quickie, 15 seconds, ready? Here we go. Two people go to the bank. One person withdraws money, the other person giving the teller money. Okay, who do you feel good for? Who do you feel happy for? Who do you feel sad for? So the person who doesn't know the way the world really works says, the one that gave the money to the teller, I feel bad for. He gave away his money. And the one that got money from the teller, I feel happy for him. The truth is, it's just the opposite. The one that gave the money to the teller, he's got so much money, and he doesn't know what to do with it. He's going to the bank and giving it to the teller, put it in his account. The one that took money from the teller, he is so destitute, he needs to pay huge interest to get some money from the bank. He's getting a loan. So it depends on what you're looking at. Now let's go to Avraham Avinu. So Yitzchok says, I see Kedusha. Eliezer and Yishmael, I see Eitzim Avonim, said the Medrash. So Avraham says, Shrulachem Por Imachamor. You stay here behind with the donkeys. You know why? The key word is donkey, right? That's correct. Okay. In other words, you know, you're missing the boat, boys. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have the first person who's totally missing the boat. Yeah, Hashem. Yeah. He created the world, but you know what I'm saying? Come on. You know what I mean? This guy went to Harvard. He's making big bucks because he went to Harvard. You know what? Rav Dessler. And again, I'm not saying the guy that goes to Harvard. Chas v'shalom. Do not misunderstand me. The guy who's like, you know, he's got all this capital and education and he's really sharp. Reb Dessler, and the guy doesn't daven and he's all matzliach. And then we talk about the guy who wrote Praying with Fire. Oh, you daven, then you get everything, right? So Reb Dessler calls him the chayolim of the Yetzer Hara in order to dupe us so we should have bechira. That's why the Eibishter has to make some people successful even though they ain't doing what they're supposed to do.
Oh, now. Now this whole thing turned around.
Yeah.
So I might be one of them.
What?
I might be one of the people that are not successful because of Hashem's plan. I'm not ready for that.
No, so all I'm saying is, so that's all I'm telling you. There's a lot to talk about.
This might be the next question somebody sent in. Yeah. I always hear this concept and amazing stories about the fact of Hashgacha Prata. My question is, when I'm going through a hard time, and it seems like everything is working against me, it seems like Hashem is pushing me and giving everyone else an easy time in life. How can I incorporate the positive parts of Hashgacha Prata? Can you share practical ways to incorporate the concept of Hashgacha Prata in my daily routine, especially when it's
here? Here we go. Answer number one, Bechira. Answer number two, Gilgul.
The Gemara said, we just had it in the Daf Yomi. A quickie, 20 seconds, ready? It's worth it. I think, but who am I? What do I know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ohev aniyim. He loves the aniyim. So the Gemara says, no, he wants the Ashim to give tzedakah, they need a kapara. Frech the Rishonim and the Achronim, everybody piles on. You mean, because God has to figure out how somebody needs a kapara, he's got to mess up this guy's life, he's an oni? He's a poor guy? Well, why is he responsible? Answers to Chassam Sofer, Gilgal. I have it in the book. I talk about Gilgal. When you see, when people used to come, Nebuch, they had a child that Nebuch is going to Loyalenu. They would go to Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim would say Gilgal. Gilgal.
And so. That could be very hard.
What?
That could be very hard to accept. We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, well, one second. Rav Chaim is going to say his, the reality of the word. Okay? So the person who hears it, and again, I'm not saying it because I'm holding it any madreigas. I'm saying it because this is the Mahalach. I'm giving information. The person needs to work on them. We all need to work on the things that we need to work on. I have my thing and everybody's got their thing. That might be that one of the things that that person has to work on. And that might be the reason why it's happening, which means he needs to do tshuva. So we have Bechira, we have Gilgal, we have tshuva, we have Nisayon. We have don't judge the situation. It's all part, connect the dots. Again, Rav Yaakov, when he didn't get the job, Rav Pam, when he missed the bus. Don't judge it. And maybe that's the bigger lesson. The Avish is running the world. It's above our pay grade. Our job is to figure out what to do, not whether we should be, you understand?
Wow. That could take time to...
Hey, life, Be'ez Hashem, the Avish will give us life. But I mean, that's part of our purpose. Or maybe that was the Gilgal we were supposed to have been created again to come down to overcome. And when we do it for Nitzchias, for eternity, we have Olam Haba. Olam Adam Li'amol Yulad. It's to struggle. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I want to ask the next question because I feel like you're not really answering. The question is really how I could, what tips could I do if I'm not good at the Hashgacha Pratis to like really use it? Well, one second.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry.
So somebody writes, I heard many stories in books, amazing stories of people believing in them. I always feel, but when it comes to having a hard time, it doesn't resonate with me. What am I doing wrong? So give me a...
Very good. So let me tell you. He's not doing anything wrong. I'll give it to you in four words. It's in the book.
I'll take five words. It's fine.
Okay. Emune Sichlius versus Emune Chushis. Emune Sichlius v'yadata hayoim. It's, I'll say it in a harsh way. No, I can't. I can't say it in that way, no. I was going to say, don't think the stipler in Pashas Noyach called Noyach HaTzadik Emune Sichlius and Rashi called Noyach Mamen v'Einoi Mamen. So I was going to say it in English. He is a maimon, he's not a maimon. This is Noyach HaTzadik. Emune Chushis, it must be experiential. Now I'll move the clock forward. Rav Chatzkol, Rav Yeruchim, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Mifta Melio, you want me to go on? We teach Emune in a simple emotional way. It's all about connection. Don't go for the philosophical, esoteric, you know what I mean? Bill of, you know, what do they call it? Bill, not the Bill of Rights, you know, the long dissertations. Don't go to the fancy stuff. Simple. That was the story with Rav Chatzkol and the cab driver. It's all about making it real. That's why you guys are so good. It's making it real. You ever hit the nail and you don't hit it on the head, so the nail bends, you gotta take it out, and now the wood splits. But I'm banging the nail. What's the problem? Yeah, but you didn't hit the nail on the head, don't you see? You're causing more problems when you don't hit the nail on the head. It takes you so much longer. Hit it once and hit it right. Hit the nail on the head. Make it real. Judaism,
Yiddishkeit, whatever word you want to use, is about making it real. And now you know why the opening statement I said was my conclusion. This is all about, it's not a rationality, it is a reality. It is real. The other world is the fake world. Messiah Yisharim, it's the dark world. Gemara in several places. Olam Hapuch. I saw a totally upside down world in Shemayim when the Tana went up to Shemayim. Because what we think is the reality, the two people who went to the bank, one gave money, one withdrew money. Yitzchak with his father by Har HaMoriah and Yishmael and El Eliezer. They saw Eitzim Vavonim, you, Shvulach and Po, stay here with the Chamor. And who reached for the stars, not just Rab Gifta, Yitzchak Ovinu, because he saw the Shechina, he saw the reality. Don't get duped. So why is it so difficult? What does the Eibishter want from me? Doesn't he love me? You have no idea how much he loves you. Let me tell you. In fact, he loves you so much. I had a relative. He became a pediatric neurosurgeon. Hey, Howard, if you're listening, I won't tell you what city he's in. But, and I used to say to him, his English name, I would say, how many years are you going to be in school? And he would say, Cousin Hesh, but after I'm in school, 20, he had to go to school and then that and that, and then residency, and then he had to find a brain of a child. I have no idea what they do. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I don't want anyone to get upset at me, please. Okay, I apologize. He told me, 17 to 20 years, he said, but after that, it will all be worth it. Because for the rest of my adult life, I will be Dr. So-and-so. He's now the head of a hospital in a big city in the United States. Boy, it's worth it. He's a bright guy. He's a doll, a frum, a voili yin. Ah! And he's helping little children doing surgery. Yeah, it was a lot of work. When people were partying, and I don't mean that, you know what I mean? He was playing ball, he was studying. But now for the rest of his life, Yiddishkeit, Judaism, it's elevating our game, connecting with the Eibishter. He loves us. And Lepum Tzara Agra. Oi, I'm looking at the screen. Miss Cantor, you were the first questionnaire. You said you were struggling. I envy your schar. Miss Cantor, you are unbelievable. Because you are struggling. Ah, the Eibishter has got you exactly where he wants you to be. And when you will succeed every step, every rung of the ladder, for eternity, you will be sitting pretty up there. Let me tell you. That's why everything's so difficult. These are not difficulties. These are opportunities. It's called Yiddishkeit. It's called Judaism. Would you rather be out there with the rest of the mixed up crazy world? Or would you rather be with people striving, not for their humanity, for the Tzelem Elohim, which is what humanity is all about? Don't you see all the difficulty, all these questions that you're posing, that you're raising? You are unbelievable people on unbelievable madrigas. You take time out of your Sunday night on a hot summer's night. You know how much ice cream the President of the United States, he may not know about it, but you know how much he is licking. And you know what you are doing? I envy the questions and the fact that you're giving up time to listen, to grow. Habola Taher, Messiah Oso, the Eibishter who was watching, who created you, and he didn't create junk. God make no junk. God ain't make no junk, as they say in Brooklyn. Okay, he is unbelievable on his game, and you are on your game.
Rabbi Kleinman's on fire. Rabbi Kleinman's on fire.
No, this is the reality. That's your theme, guys.
Okay, somebody text us. I want to read what they wrote, and then we'll go to the next question.
Okay.
They wrote that they do Friday night, they have a shkachas pratis thing that they do at the table with the family. If kids come up with something that happened to them, that was a shkachas pratis, they get gushers. It changed our lives. I think I got this idea from Rabbi Kleiman on the show when he came on the first time.
So, Rav Hatzkel used to incentivize his daughters.
Hatzkel used to give gushers?
What?
Asker used to give gushers?
No, yeah, and he would, that writer store, he would incent, he would give them like, you know, incentivize. Yeah, what a great idea. Good, you know what I'm saying?
They said it's from you, they said they think they got the idea from you. Okay, let's go to the next question.
Let's go to the next question.
So now I'm gonna take it a little deeper. I often worry about the future and find it hard to trust in Ashkocha brothers. What advice can you give to overcome this anxiety? For example, the person writes, I could have a heart attack if I'm running late for a flight or right. something in business that seems like it won't work out or right. anything most people seem to have easy. They don't okay. lose it. I cannot sleep and bite my nails. I want to believe and trust that everything is from Hashem, that it's 100% meant to be. So could I use Ashkocha Pratis? Basically, I suffer from severe anxiety, right? Hashem made them like that. It was Ashkocha Pratis. It was Masheret. That's their DNA, right? Some people are just more nervous, whatever you want to call it. That's their nature. So they want to know if I really work on the Ashkocha Pratis, if I can really overcome anxiety and fears.
Yes, the reason why Gedolim, who had the weight of the world on their shoulders.
Without the anxieties.
Yeah, the Gedolim who had the weight of the world on their shoulders, they were as calm as anything. If you know Shmuel Kamenetsky, I happen to know if it's through my son, as you well know. So, he tells me a million stories, says that Rosh Hashiva is as cool and as calm as anything. He said nothing is in his control. Can't control anything. Everything is the Yevushka. And he lives it. He lives it. Okay? I mean, you have Gedolim. They used to say about Rav Chaim, about... Now, again, Gedolim is Rav Yeruchim. Listen to Rav Yeruchim Lubavitch. Gedolim, did they walk under a different sky? Did a different sun shine on them? No. But whenever something happened, they were introspective. They looked for Hashem involvement. Now, it's difficult. So Rav Avigdor Miller, by him, he saw seeds and he went on a whole soliloquy as to seeds was the ABC exact. How do we get there? We start with the unusual. Mizmo l'David b'vachar b'nei Avshalom b'no. Even a difficult situation. It was so unusual, he couldn't help but recognize Hashem. Rav Desla, I have it in the book. Rav Desla says, if you see something unusual, we are not zeichet to miracle, but if you see something slightly unusual, you can recognize Hashem Lachshach HaPratis, and the suggestion is write it down. And your book will start to grow. As you review it, you'll start to feel it. You'll start to recognize other stories in your life that may have bypassed you. And again, you're starting the cycle, an upward cycle. Number one, you become well-connected. Number two, the schus of being more connected. That in and of itself is the schus. And guess what? You are now connected to the Eibishka. Ashrecha.
Here's another personal question. I've been struggling, personally, somebody sent it in, but it's a story. I've been struggling with my parnasa for a while, and everyone tells me I should work on my emunah b'tachin.
Again, what?
Struggling with my parnasa.
Yes.
For a while, and everybody tells me to work on my emunah b'tachin. I don't really know what that means. Yes, I know everything is from Hashem, but he's not helping me. I'm borrowing money to pay the basics, and my job is Baruch Hashem is stable, but does not cover my expenses. Just this past 2 years, everything has skyrocketed. How can I trust and rely, especially when I see the situation getting worse?
Okay. So first of all, obviously that's his nisayon, and number one. So what happens when you need a lot of money? Who do you go to? Forget about the Eibishter. Forget about it. This is a regular.
He borrows from,
Let's say you don't need to borrow. Let's say somebody can give you.
Mm-hmm.
A benefactor. Is that what they call him? No? really nice. Who would you go to? Somebody who has a lot of money, right?
It's Rabbi Kleiman. I'll go to you.
No, so who would you go to?
Rabbi Kleiman.
So the Gemara in Masechta Nida, Ayin of Abayis, right? Ma yasa odem b'yis asher. What should a person do if he needs money? So the Gemara says, the bottom line of the Gemara is, Yabakesh rachamim mimisho oshishaloi davin. That's a siman. The Eibishter wants the person, one of the things that the Eibishter wants, I can't tell you what God wants, one of the things he wants us to reach out to him, to show that we have trust and faith in him. Davin, pick a part of davening. If you're not a good davener, pick one small part. You need panosa baruch aleinu. Learn the meaning of baruch aleinu. There's a good book. It's called Praying with Meaning. Okay? Baruch aleinu on panosa, and make that your tefillah where you have kavana every single day. If you can't do it every day, make it once a day, every other day. Start small. Grow large. When you do that, you will start to feel connected. Number one, the Koyach HaTfilah. I got a great story for Hishtadlus, but I got to save it when we have the thing on Hishtadlus. Okay? But it's an unbelievable story about Tfilah and Hishtadlus. But in any event, okay, I want to whet your appetite. That's all I'm doing. But Davin, connect. Start to recognize Hashem in your life in Parnosa because you are asking him for it. Habalatam Messiah Noisai. Korav Hashem, Lachol Korav. Hashem is close to all that. Lachol Hashem Yikru'u Be'emes. Be'emes is Piv V'Liboy Shovin. Your mouth and your heart. You say what you think and you think what you say. That's the start. Once you do that, you'll see things will start to happen. Then life will come to you. The Hashkacha Pratis is, you'll see. Whoever this person is, start it. Okay, let the person send an email. I want to know what's going on after 6 weeks.
So it's important to put in the tefillah part that we're discussing. Hashkacha Pratis, write down the stories, Davin Tashem, and let me ask you, I know it's not a program on tefillah, but I know you have a lot.
Go ahead.
Talking about a gilgal or something, a situation that you don't like, you don't want to accept, could tefillah change it?
That's why when we daven for things, we have to do tshuva, even for things on Yom Kippur that we know we never did. So some of the Balei Machshavas say that since in the Gilgul we may have done something wrong, therefore that's why we mentioned that part that we need to do tshuva in the tefillah. So, in other words, how does the person know why he's down here as a Gilgul? Ah, you want to know the answer to that one? Yes or no? You have to tell me. You want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, says the Vilna Gaon, it's also Nesivos Shalom. I believe it's Shoftim or Pashas Re'ei. Each one of us, L'ra or L'tayv, for bad and for good. Certain things, we have that thing, we just can't kick the habit. Whatever it is, that's the one I always trip up on. I'm always having, it always in front of me. I'm always having the struggle. It's always something that says the Goyen on Mishle, I believe it's Perek Dalet Pasuk, I don't know, it's from memory, that's a simen, that's the thing we have to be masaking. Nesivos Shalom says, L'toy, the thing that we're good in chesed, we have this netia,
Kol Halashon.
What's English for netia? This tendency for tztotah, for Torah, for tefillah, for emunah. That's a simon, that's the thing. I'll give it to you in a visual. You have a backache. You're leaning to this side. When you walk, you don't realize it. Your friend comes up and says, why are you hunched over to the right? You say, I don't know, I don't know. It's so, I got this, my back is on this side. I can't, you're leaning in that direction because you got something, a muscle, you pulled it in your back. You pulled a spiritual muscle and you've never corrected it. That's why your life has a certain leaning towards certain things. That's how a person determines as best as he can the things that he needs to be masakein, lara, and the good things that he'll have schusim in, because that's the thing that the Eibishter wants him to do.
Is that what you mean? I know you have a few chapters in the book about a person finding his purpose in life.
Yes.
Is this how you...
I got a whole section about tafkid. Yep.
And a person could actually see what his tafkid in this world is?
It, part of it, Sharab, I have it in the book. I don't remember, but the story, I can't remember all the stories. Part of it, Sharab, he said before the war, he had yeshiva, they had 1,000 students, and after the war, he felt that since that was something he was involved in before, it's something that he must do now. So the part of it's a yeshiva and orphanages and stuff like that, a beis yakov, because he felt in his fiber and his being that was his purpose.
So a person could feel his tafkid.
Yes,
you could help a person figure that out.
Yeah, well, you got to read the chapter too. Now I will tell you. I don't want people to make the mistake. Everyone has a tafkid. And everyone's purpose is meaningful. We need to have a whole thing on tafkid because it's so important. People lose the button. I'll give you a quick marshal, a quickie. And when I say we need to, because just, it's a whole sugya. Take a puzzle. Of course, behind me, there's nothing but wall. Okay. This is also hashgacha pratis. Okay. But if I had a puzzle and I would have a lot of intricate detail, a building and trees and then I had blue sky. Let's say the whole top of the puzzle is blue sky. Let's say one piece is missing. Would you hang the picture in your big entry when people will come in? There's no way in the world. Why? But it's only blue sky. Well, what is blue sky? Blue sky is nothing. It's missing shleimus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't make no junk. The sky is part of the shleimus of the puzzle, of the picture. You are part of the shleimus panorama of the world with the intent HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He needs you to fulfill your tafkid, whatever it might be. When Rav Matis shows Solomon became sick, it's in the book. One of his sons said to him, like, you know, everybody came to the Mashgiach, and now he said, that was my tafkid then, this is my tafkid now. And you know something? It's important, because we all have to fulfill our tafkid. Says the Shar HaTziyun in the Mishnah Brura on the bottom in the small print, in Hilchos Aser Simei Tshuva, he said, do tshuva! Because you're going to have to come back at the Gilgal. This is a halacha sefer. The Chofetz Chaim, the Shara Tziyun. I have it in the book. Because you're going to have to do tshuva. You don't want to have to go through that, man. So do tshuva. Because you have a tafkid to fulfill. Now, of course, it's a struggle. You know, the whole nine. But you understand, there is perspective to all this. It's meaningful. It's important. Everyone needs to know this. Whether the big guy, the shaker, or the movers, or even the, I have a day in the book, you remember where they had the banks too big to fail? I have a day in the book on everyone's tafkid. It's called too big to fail. No matter what you're doing in life, it's too big to fail.
Wow.
Okay. Let's do one more question, we'll go to closing, okay?
So,
okay, you do.
Hi.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem, how are you? Thank you very much, Rabbi.
My pleasure. I'm glad you're listening.
Yeah, thank you. I'm getting
You give me chizuk.
Wow. Venosnu. The question is as follows. And when one feels that they're connected on their own level, and has been praying for years for specific things and is grateful to Hashem constantly and always thanks Hashem for all the good constantly, and they see that the prayers are not getting answered to their specific bakushas. How can I get more clarity to grow closer?
So the first step is to know that if the things you're asking for are not answered, does not mean that God either does not love you, he doesn't care about you, he's discarding you, he's ticked off at you. The answer is E. All of the above ain't happening. So what is happening? So anything from A to Z, it could be the Eibishter wants you to dig deeper. By the way, you've heard of Chana. You remember Chana? Chana davened for 12 years. She asked her husband and she said to the husband, you know what? You're not helping me. So she said, that's it. You know what? I'm just going to daven my heart out. And she was zeichet to a son who was Shmuel Hanovi. You want something really unique, something special, something really, really important. Guess what? It's like the guy, he wants that big, beautiful mansion and it's $4 million. The guy's been working for 18 years. He's making nice money, but you know, he's got to spend it. He comes and he said to the buyer, $4 million. I got $3,800,000. You know how many years I've worked for this? And the seller says, but you know, listen, this is unique. It's a $4 million house. It's going to take a little bit more. You decide if you want it. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not answer our tefillos at the time that we ask for it could be a whole slew of things. And I apologize. In Praying with Fire, the next to the last chapter, there's a chapter called Finding Answers to Unanswered Prayers. Praying with Fire 1, I recommend, if you want to know what could it mean, there are 6 possibilities. So I don't have the time to go through it. But what I will tell you, the one thing I do have the time, and it's important that I tell you, the fact that something is happening in your life is not happening by accident. It's not happening by a miscalculation by God. It's not happening by coincidence. The Eibishter is looking at your life and saying, this guy is special. Let me concoct something just for him to bring out his potential. And you are special.
Wow, thank you. And another quick question. What about anxiety itself?
You want to know if I'm nervous all the time? Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, what's your question?
Yeah, I understand. The question is though, what about anxiety itself? One who struggles with anxiety.
Okay.
Is it something that they can conquer with Emuna, or it's something that is a...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I apologize for interrupting your thought
right
process.
On. It's okay, don't worry, thank you.
Okay, so let's take a step back. We are human. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these emotions. It's called nisayon. A struggle. Because the reward is going to be some unbelievable thing that you and I can't even fathom in a million years. As they say, non-worldly, literally and figuratively, or otherworldly, I think that's the phrase. And therefore, it's an assignment, just like a mida. Somebody has anger, somebody has temptation, someone has jealousy. All these things, interesting, Korach had jealousy, this yesterday's Torah portion. Korach had jealousy. The rush. And the Rambam on the Mishnah in Avos that says jealousy takes a person out of the world. And he said, because that person does not have emunah. If we really had emunah, we would not feel that we are jealous of someone. The Rush says the person who steals lacks an emunah. The person who is anxious does not lack an emunah. He's a person and he has a midah. And if he would heighten his emunah, it can help to lessen the anxiety.
Have I answered your question?
Indeed, indeed. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Shalacha to you. Thank you for participating.
Thank you. Amen.
I want to ask one last question because I think this is something that we need to just really clarify, and then we'll go to the closing segment of the climate. Okay?
Yes.
I'm going to read these two questions, but I'm going to put them together because I think it's basically the same question.
Okay.
Somebody says, I moved to a new neighborhood and I'm very not happy with the crowd. My wife tells me it's Hashkacha Pratis, and this is where Hashem wants us to be, so we need to make it work. Is that true or not? Wait. Number two, how do I know when it's Hashkacha or when I should take action to change the situation? Technically, Hashkacha Pratis could also be a coping mechanism, a way to get out of actually doing any work. Say, oh, it's meant to be, it's Hashkacha. So let's just sum up both questions. Really, the question is,
yes.
How do we know when Hashkacha Pratis is not, we're using it as a way to get out of doing things or, well, okay, how do we know when it's what?
Okay. So number one, let me answer the first question first. Hameichin mitzadei gove. Where we are is where Hashem wants us to be. Our feet take us to where we're supposed to be. I have a couple of days in the book about it to explain the concept. That's number one. Number two, Michtam Eliyahu warns us, don't not go to work and say, I have betachin. If it's inconsistent with your level of betachin in other areas of life, shidduch, other areas, the way you involve yourself with, you know, interrelate with other people, then it's a sign that you're lazy. So again, that was the conclusion, which was the opening statement. Hashkacha Pratis is a reality. It's what we do with that. So yes, is it possible for someone to you that has a rationale? Absolutely. If a person's going through a difficult scenario, number one, it's definitely coming from Hashem, because just like by David Melech, he was running away from Avshalom, who wanted to kill him. But he knew what to do with it because he knew to daven to Hashem. If it's something that is hindering me from my avoda, from the thing that I want to do right, the thing I want to do better, the thing I want to serve in spirituality and ruchnius, then daven for Hashem to eliminate it, or to pull it back, and for him to show his hand, if you will, to give me the message that's also part of Hashkacha Pratis. The more Hashem reveals himself, the chesed he's doing for us to see that everything Hashkacha Pratis. And that's why David HaMelech said a mizmor. That's why he was so happy. Because Hashem did me a chesed. He was so kind to me. He loved me. And yes, it was a difficult scenario. My son was coming to kill me. But I knew that it was Hashem, and I knew it was a message. I had to do tshuva. It was in the Soyon. I needed a kapore. And I davened to him to help me overcome. And in this way, I would be able to serve him better. At the same time, the fact that I'm reaching out to him, I heighten my level of awareness. You wouldn't talk to someone if you didn't feel that person could help you. If I reach out to Hashem, that's a simon. I recognize that he's involved in everything in my life. And therefore, I'm asking him for his undivided attention, which he gives every individual, and for his help. And that helps the person get closer to Hashem. There are several ways to get closer. Torah, and I keep on repeating it, and I apologize for doing so. It needs people, clarity, reality. How does Torah, in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to, in yeshiva, it protects like, come on. I mean, of course Torah is important, but come on. Can we be real? Yeah. I'll explain it to you. We don't have the time. But you understand all these things, these are topics, sugyas, issues that permeate the world. It affects everyone. We need to gain clarity of the reality. And if we do that, we will be connected to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the reality of the world is Ein Oid Milvado. There ain't no one like the Eibishter. He's doing it all. He does absolutely everything. My, oh my.
Okay, let's go to the closing segment, Rabbi Kleiman. Murder. Okay, first of all, Gershon Shkoich to Rabbi Heshe Klein for coming on tonight and giving a tremendous chizuk tonight and really clarification on Muna B'tochen, really Hashgacha Pratis, understanding what it means and how we could really grow from it in our lives, really get to the next level. And I wanted to say, if anybody wants to join our WhatsApp chats, we have the community chat, could text, WhatsApp 732-314-1710. And I'll send you the link to sign up for the community chat. So you can also go to MenachemBernfeld.com and sign up for his email blast where he sends the emails of the speakers, the replays, and all the Gita Zachen. Again, if anybody's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. for the last almost 5 years, Rabbi Kleiman, come on, where have you been? Everybody knows, right? At Sunday night, 9:30. Let's get real. July 14th, next we're going to have world famous therapist Rabbi Daniel Schoenbach, who is going to discuss an important topic. Everybody's very into this, IFS, parts, but he's really going to clarify it. We're calling it Unveiling the Power Within, how internal family systems, IFS, therapy heals trauma, addiction, and depression by embracing and transforming our parts. It should be a powerful program. Please join us. And it should be a big, big chizuk for Yisrael. Again, if anybody has any questions, first of all, everything is recorded. Be on MenachemBernfeld.com. Email coachmenachem@gmail.com. And tonight's share is 193. You can call the phone lines at Shem 732-305-9011 to hear all the shiurim tonight's share and all the other past 193 shiurim. And again, shout out to Rabbi Kleiman for coming on. I'll go first. And then Menachem and the Rabbi Kleiman will leave it for you. But I just want to say in my closing that tonight was tremendous, tremendous chizuk. And at the end of the day, this is something that it's a lifetime avoid the Rabbi Kleiman. And it's something that we have to listen to this year 100 times over and over. And we have to buy the book and we have to value. And everybody has seen a Hashgacha Pratis in their life. Everybody has seen miracle stories, how that particular person came at that particular time to help me in that particular area. And we see it so clearly when we see it. And then we forget about it as if it never happened. Almost like we can't even think of an Hashgacha Pratis story. Like if I needed to think of a Hashgacha Pratis story right now, I could think maybe of one that happened to me in my life when I know there was hundreds, if not thousands. So I think it's a very valuable thing if people could really take the time and take a notebook, write it down. Because when you see Hashgacha Pratis, you could touch it and you could feel it and it gives you chizik and you know Hashem's with you through all your pain and all your things that you're going through. And you know that some things that happen are so like it's so clear that it's God, it's so clear that he's with you and he's there to help you in that particular matzav. And I think I assume everybody's had those very how do you call it, those eye opening situations, those epiphanies. And we just really need to tap into it. And the more we work on it, Rabbi Kleiman, is that what you're saying? The more we work on it, the more we view it and the more we focus on it, the more it'll become part of our regular reality. When we go to a place, we go through the green light, we get there on time, and the things, the regular daily things that to us we take granted, that Rabbi Kleiman, you didn't say the famous joke, I thought you were going to say it. The guy's looking for the parking spot, and he finally asks, Hashem, please help me. If I find the parking spot, I promise I'm going to do this, I'll do this. And then right in front of the hall, the guy pulls out and says, ah, Hashem, I don't need you, I'm good now, I got a spot, I'm good. But that's the point. The point is that we need to really work on it. It's a muscle, just like any exercise, anything we try, we need to work on it over and over and over again. And the more we see it from the big things, when those miracle stories happen, right? Those unbelievable stories, how the guy missed the plane and punked, he had a flat tire. And if he would have been on the plane, what would have happened? And we see it so clearly, but we have to do it on our more weekly things, on our simple things that we take for granted. And then, you know, we lose out on the connection just from connecting with Hashem without, Rabbi Kleiman, it's a connection with Hashem without davening, without learning, and without being spiritual, just living regular life and connecting the regular life to Hashem. It's an avoid in itself. It's a different, like a different avoid in itself. It's like seeing and feeling everything. So anyway, Rabbi Kleiman, again, thank you for coming on and, Coach Menachem.
Yeah, very powerful, powerful night. And I personally want to thank Hashem for putting me in this space right now, for doing this program, for having Rabbi Kleiman on, for exactly where I am now. Even though there are situations in my life where I would maybe I'm diving to something and it's, but tonight we heard some clarity. The Olam Hafa we need to work on. So I want to thank Hashem for that, for exactly what he's giving me and where I am. And that's like we heard. It's not always easy, but small steps, with talking to Hashem, and even if it's hard, if you say, Hashem, it's so hard for me, why? That itself is a connection. Even if you're starting from a place where you're not happy, but that means you're connected, and you're talking to Him, and you're davening, and slowly these things change. So with the small exercise, we can go from emunah sichlis to emunah chushis, to actually start living that way. And my tefillah is, for me and for everybody else, we should slowly or fast get to a place where we can take a deep breath and do what we need to do, knowing that everything is from Hashem. And if everything is from Hashem, then wow. We have many questions. There's so much going on in the world. But like we heard, Ikfas of the Mashiach, and this is a very important part. Not everything I could understand. Not everything. I could daven. I could talk to Hashem about it. But do I expect to understand everything He does? Really? I don't think so. So that gives us, you know, that strength and that connection. So Hashem, Hashem should help us. Hashem, help us, please. Me and everybody listening. We should get to a place where we can get to connection and feel connected and thank Him and daven for Him. And with that, Mitzvah will be zoicha to the gula, b'mheira v'yameinu.
Amen. We're climbing 2 hours of talking about Hashgacha Pratis. What's your feeling? What's your closing coming down to?
So first of all, the aleph is that life is tough. It's a double meaning. You think about it. Aleph to tough, you know what I'm saying? But the Aleph really is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every individual. And I'll prove it to you. If He didn't love you, you would have never been created. You would have never been here. He went through, I'll use the word trouble because that's the way we view it. And I'm speaking in the way a human being looks at it. He went through all the quote unquote trouble on our level to create not just you, but everything that's involved with the you, the person you marry, the place you live, the community, the shul you daven, the school that you went, your kids go, the person sitting opposite you in shul, the store that you shop, etc., etc. It's all for you. Bishvili nivra ha'olam, as the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. Everything was created. So each individual, the alapid Hashem loves us. And we have to know that Hashem is involved in everything. And you mentioned that there are ways to connect. You mentioned looking at life itself. That's the Rambam. The Rambam says really the easiest way is to look at our experiences, which is what Hashgacha Pratis is trying to tell us. All our experiences. And again, it's a little bit easier when they're unusual because they are on the side of the miracle without the great wow, wow, wow. It's just like, huh? Or wow. Turn your huh moments into wow moments. Instead of going, huh, go, huh? Okay? It's a small voice inflection, but it changes your perspective on everything. So number one, Hashem loves us, each and every one of us. Number two, experience life and the Hashgacha Pratis. As the Rambam says, that's the best way to connect with Him. Don't try to slay the dragon all at once. Life is a dragon. It's a marathon. Don't try to win the marathon by running full speed, full throttle all at once. It ain't going to happen. A marathon is meant to be run step by step. Half a mile by half a mile, mile by mile. Different community you run through. That's what life is. You go through different communities. Remember Yaakov Avinu, the paradigm. The ladder, Mutza V'Roisha Magia Hashemayma. You can reach the stars. If you take every one step at a time. And remember, if you misstep on the trampoline, the harder you press down, the higher you will go up. And if it takes several times, you know what? Just call yourself a tzaddik. Because seven times, you're still called a tzaddik. Remember the small child that you taught to learn how to walk. Oh, that's right. I can't say I remember when it was me. But I would imagine my parents, Olah Shalom, did the same thing I did with my kids. Every time the kid fell, the parents went, yay, yay. Now, the other kids in the room had no idea what in the world. Why is mommy and daddy clapping every time Meishi falls? You know why? Because the parent knew that every time you go through something difficult,
eventually you will get up and you will learn how to walk. And boy, are you happy that you went through that difficulty, that for the rest of your life, you know how to walk, you know how to run, and with the Eibush's help, you know how to succeed. So for those going through difficulties, and we all go through difficulties, each in our own way, in our own situation, some are longer difficulties, heavier, more difficult, some are shorter, lighter, a little bit easier. But that's based on who you are, and that has to do with your tafkid, your purpose. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, again, I'll use the word, through the trouble of creating each and every one of you, there's a lot that went into that. And therefore, you have tremendous potential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. The struggles are meant for something positive that will come out. Etzemach David Abdecho Meher Tzatzmiach. The Geula comes, it's called Tzatzmiach. Put the seed in the ground. Crush the seed. Crush it. Rake it. Put manure on it. I'm going to eat from that in 4 months from now. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And you will like it. And it will taste good. Because that's the way the Eibishter runs his world. And you know why? Because he wants us. He loves us so much. He wants us not only to have in this world any good, but also he wants us to have the unbelievable good for eternity. One last thing. First, I want to thank everybody that listened to take time out of your, what do they call it, July 4th weekend. Okay, maybe you will firecracker it out. I don't know. I heard enough booms for enough jets going through the sky in my neighborhood. But I want to thank Coach Menachem and Abosha. Because Magalgalin's chus ayadei zaka. Yeah, I know. All we do is just press the button. Yeah, sure. But the bottom line is the Eibishter helps you to make it look easy. But what you're doing for Klal Yisrael, I have to say it because it's the reality. And your program is about reality. So Agrosi Yashikayach, since I'm the one that's been talking most of the night, so I guess I'm the last one with the floor. So I've got to say, Agrozi Ashikoyach for the two of you and tell my friend Aranoyach, okay? And you know who you are and you guys know who he is. The Ezes Hashem, Ein Anu Lihishoyin El Avinu Shabashamayim. Not only for now, for the Geula, for Achamei Ve'esrim, the Eibush that creates us to connect with him. He loves us. If we can love him back, that is what they call a match made not only in heaven, but in this world as well. Thank everyone for listening. Thank the two of you for putting this all together. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should all be zeiche. When we reach the connection with the Eibishter, we'll be like those fifth of the people that went out of Mitzrayim. They were zeiche. We too will be zeiche to walk with the Geula. And you talk about Hashgacha Pratis. Ah. That will be the ultimate Hashgacha Pratis.
Amen.
Okay. For the climate. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you on the same time, same place next Sunday night, July 14th. Rabbi Daniel Sturmbuch, IFS. It should be something very, very special. Please join us. Thank you very much. Good night.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.